You know what time it is.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Jason Anderson.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
I'd like it to be rocking. I'd like there to be 22,000 people, you know, in red. You know, I'd like this place bouncing off the walls. But at the same time, I recognize that we have to earn that. I don't think we're the deepest team in the world, but I also think that we have guys off the bench that can spark us on both ends of the floor. You know, whether it's Ryan coming in, who can certainly spread the floor and stretch the floor. A guy like Dwayne, who does a little bit of everything. I think Malik's played extremely well, as we talked about before. So I feel good about our bench. I feel good about our rotations and just keeping guys fresh.
Come on, everybody.
You're in the zone.
In the zone.
The Zone with Jason Anderson. Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
What's up, Big Daddy?
Want to be part of the show? Give us a call at 267-9680.
Now,
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
They dropped the F-bomb. That was pretty bold. Never prouder to be an American.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So could this week be the start of one season and the unofficial ending of another? Like the official starting of the basketball season, while with the reports coming out this week, the unofficial ending of the Bobby Petrino tenure? Or has that already happened? Like the unofficial...
I think like the unofficial end already happened.
Yeah, I feel like every time... And again, it's probably preserved at the moment. Each time something happens, you're like, no. Now this is definitely... The sign that it is over. Like, no, this is now.
The straw that breaks the camel's back.
There's a lot of camels that are broken backs right now, okay? And there's a lot of straw that is out there. But it's like, oh, Georgia Tech, kind of feels like it's barreling towards the end. Oh, Boston College, kind of feels like it's barreling towards the end. Wake Forest, boy, that's kind of over. That's kind of over. Wake Forest, Clemson, oh, it's definitely over. Everybody's transferring. Okay, now it's really over. Syracuse 55. All right, it feels like it's really over. Like, we have not played our Louisville football mantra theme song in a while. Magic. We haven't hit that thing in a few weeks.
It's getting kind of hard to believe things are going to get better.
That's right. We haven't played that in a while because it really is not really all that meaningful anymore because it's getting kind of hard to believe things are going to get worse. Oh, wait. Next week.
It's getting kind of hard to believe things are going to get worse.
Yep. There will be. Last night.
Give it time.
Absolutely, yes. The day is not over yet. It's like, hey, punch anybody today? Day's not over.
Was the Simpsons line, this is the worst day of my life. The worst day of your life so far.
So that's right. So you're telling me that every day you wake up, it's the worst day of your life? Yes. Oh, that's messed up. So it is the start of basketball season for the Louisville Cardinals tonight. The Chris Mack era underway. And it is underway, unfortunately, marred with a little bit of the past that continues to go on and continues to affect the basketball program. And in the maybe not from a literal standpoint on the floor, but, you know, in a conversation and in a view of all of the stuff is behind Louisville and all of that, it's at least from the people that were a part of it, that this is done. Bowen never played. And you'll see what the NCAA is going to do in the future, but you're talking about players that weren't a part of it and coaching staffs and all of that, and then you hear B.J. King's name come out after Bellarmine, and then you see the report last night from Schlaybaugh that's Ray Spalding, which doesn't really matter now because he's in the NBA. What's the worst? They're going to vacate an NIT season? Like, I don't even think that would be, like, nobody would bat an eye at that. Like, the joke going around with UK fans now is, you know, involving, Ashton Hagen's like, oh, if he got paid, can you vacate the loss to Duke and therefore it never happened? Just vacate that. Duke wins 1-0. Would you take a 1-0 win right now for Duke rather than the 118-84 shellacking that happened on Tuesday?
No, you didn't win that game. We forfeited it.
No, we vacated it. We vacated it. We'll give you the win, but we ain't taking the loss. Actually, I guess you would still take the loss. You just don't get the wins anymore. So they wouldn't even vacate it. It would just be there. It would be doing what I want. So it is the start of basketball season, but there is the FBI report, which we'll get into. I got some thoughts on that. I don't think it's as crazy serious, but I also don't think it's just easily dismissed or something that is clearly, you know, Christian Dawkins just making things up. I think there's a couple of ways to view it, and we'll get into that. Certainly, there was a tweet last night, I guess, you know, it was incredibly vague, but the vague tweet, like, we realize what it was about, and it's about what's going on this week in Mark Ennis's reports, and it was, you know, unprofessional rumors that are out there about this Louisville Cardinal team and what's going on. And I'm telling you right now, it's not rumors, man. Those things are not rumors. They are going on. You know what a rumor is? A rumor is when the coaches feed people information. A rumor is when a coach tells you that a guy left the program because he was sick. And it turns out that that was absolutely false. That is a coach. And by the way, that's not really even a rumor. That's just a lie. That's really what that is. Like, the rumors is what was going on 2 weeks ago when I don't even remember what day that was. All the days ran together when I was in Destin. But I know it was a day that I was in Destin. So that was 2 weeks ago when it was like the rumor mill was really up and rolling around Louisville and around the football program. Like, those are the rumors. Sourced information that is reported, that is from somebody who's not just going out there to throw something at the wall to make a name for himself, or is not just somebody out there to go and throw something out there to, you know, cozy up next to a coach or an administrator to, you know, help your career anyway. Like, that's not what's happening at all. In fact, it'd be the exact opposite with the football program right now if Mark Ennis was doing that. Like, it would be him releasing information about, I don't know, that there were just rumors going on, that stuff isn't actually true, what's taking place. I will believe the man who's got the sourcing, who was right about Jordan Travis and had the Russ Yeast information as well, rather than the people involved with the program that told you Jordan Travis was really sick, that's why he left the program. Also, if I'm Jordan Travis, I was thinking about this last night when I was, thinking about that, it's rumors and all that. If I'm Jordan Travis's dad, like, do I have any legal ramifications against Louisville? If I can say that, you know, somebody on the staff told a media member that my son was so sick, that's why he had to leave the program. One, even if he was, that's a HIPAA violation, right? Like, we always thought, well, I'm not going to release injury information. It's HIPAA. They can hide behind HIPAA. Well, they're lying about something that is health related to make themselves look better. And it turns out it had nothing to do with that. It had nothing to do with the transfer or the new redshirt rule. Had nothing to do with him being sick. Had nothing to do with that. It just was somebody who was unhappy. Those things happen. Guys can be unhappy all the time in college football. You know, there's going to be attrition. There's turnover in rosters all the time in college athletics. We know that it's the transfer epidemic. We hear it constantly when it comes to college football and college basketball coaches that are lamenting any sort of small minutia of power that a player might have. And that's what's going on in this case right now, is this is an element of the players that don't have a lot of power, but a little power they do have is the, you know, let me check out that transfer paper. Let me just get it just in case. I'm not saying I'm leaving, but I'm at least going to explore some of the possibilities.
Explore my options.
Yeah, exactly right. Absolutely. Look, I want to sign the contract with you. I'd love to stay here. I'd love to sign the extension. But I got some other options that I may want to explore as well.
I'm not saying I'm going to date other people or that we should, but right. I'm going to look around a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not leaving you right now. Okay, I just want to see what it's like without you. At least the chance of seeing what it might be like without you, okay? Just looking around, okay? I can look but don't touch, all right? I may do that. Like, there's a little bit of power in that only when it's power in numbers, right? Because, you know, we just went through the election and people are like, well, I don't vote because my vote doesn't matter. Well, literally one vote doesn't matter. But it's the swath of all of the one votes combined of getting a mass of people to rally and to feel motivated and to go. And so you are one of 5 million and not like one of one, to where I'm like, oh, well, my vote doesn't really matter. It's like, well, some states it doesn't. Some states it does, depending on the general election. Or are you voting for someone in a representative in your district? Then your vote would matter more than if you're voting in the general election in a state that's, by the way, they just called Indiana for Trump in 2020. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you were voting blue in that state for a president, like, your vote isn't really going to matter.
Oh, there goes Kentucky. Now it's for Trump.
That's exactly right. Yeah. But like, locally it would happen. But that's what this is. This is if one player was like, yeah, I want to check out my transfer papers. Like, that wouldn't be a player saying, I've got power here. Unless it's a real, influential, impactful player that is a difference maker that the coaches go, well, bleep, we can't lose that guy. Let's see what's going on. Let's meet with him. Let's see what the deal is. And if there's anything that could be rectified, alleviated, fixed, what have you, we've got to go and get to the bottom of this. But when you've got 20 of what you can, you know, essentially say would be what, almost 70, 68 players that would even be eligible to transfer, you know, not counting the upperclassmen and guys that would be going to the league anyway, like, you're looking at 20 out of 70 players. By the way, 20 is an entire recruiting class. And that's not all, they're not all going to transfer, okay? Like, that's not the deal. But if you've got the threat, or at least the possibility, or at least the thought of, you know what, I'd like to explore my other options of transferring, that's losing an entire recruiting class. Mind you, that the next recruiting class is also falling apart, and you would have 20 people that are at least looking into transferring while only having 10 players committed for next year on a December 19th early signing period, when you've got to, you know, hit the ground running. You've got to get rolling. You got to bleep, or, you know, get off the pot, because it is time to get those players committed, because they're going other places and they're probably going to be pretty solid, because it's tick, 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 tick on the clock as it's getting closer and closer to December 19th.
And I think we found the number the other day that of the 85 players currently on roster, 14 are in some way, shape, or form seniors. So you've got 34 out of 85 players that either are not going to be or are looking at not being on the roster next season.
Well, Jalen Smith isn't a senior, but he's gone as well.
Yeah, he's gone.
And so so if you're looking at, well, 71 of 85 are even those that would be eligible to return. Well, Jalen Smith isn't returning, so 70 out of 85. So it's 20 of 70 that you're looking at. And again, that is, it's the mass. It isn't one. It isn't two. If you're one person voting, if I go and write in Magic Mike for city, conservation and water administration surveyor, he ain't going to win. But if we sit here and campaign for Magic Mike for 6 months on the air, I would guess he'd get more than one write-in vote.
Not two, not three, not four, not five.
He would get 6 votes exactly, is what he would get for city surveyor. You know, he's very good at surveying things. He surveys the show for 3 hours a day. It's like, here's my survey. Survey says that show sucked. There it is. 100 people polled. Was that show good? Top answers on the board. Number one answer, no. 100 out of 100 people. You win the game. Very well done, people.
No. Only 99. Second answer. Who's Jason Anderson?
That's right. Top answer on the board. Is that show any good? Top answer on the board. Go. Tick, 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 tick. No. Ding, ding. That's right. 67. Let's see. Second answer on the board. It is who? That's right. 37. 63 and 37. Unless I said 67, then it'd be 33. Either way, it's no and who are the top two answers on the board. But yeah, so it's like one individual. Okay, those things happen. But 20 of them that are at least exploring it, I think, is definitely different than, you know, just a one-off or somebody not being happy. If you want to weigh in, 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line. You can call in at 267-9680 as well. You can tweet the show at J680Anderson, at @Magic_ESPN680, or just use the Fan Outfitters Twitter line, which is at ESPN680. That works as well. It's a packed Thursday, as it always is, but it's packed starting at 4 o'clock. So the last 2 hours is Zone Blitz. We'll talk with Rick Bozich at 5 o'clock. We've got Fat Jack, who's going to help us on the games coming up this weekend. Listeners, by the way, back-to-back wins. So Kevin, last week, I think was the caller's name, Kevin, 4-1. Very well done. So he had a very good week, and I'm very disappointed in him that he was 4-1, and guess which one he missed?
Was it the Louisville game? Yeah, free space?
Yeah, he picked Louisville to cover the 39.
He,
I'm like, that was
the free space.
It was a free space, man. It's like, how do you not get the free space? Come on, man. Come on. You landed on Boardwalk and didn't buy it. What are you thinking? Like, that was the easy one, right? Then you just need to spend the rest of the game getting Park Place. I don't know. You can win without, you know, getting bored.
What if you got all four railroads?
I'd like that one. But I ain't putting hotels and houses and all that stuff on you know, railroads. You can't do that. It would be a disaster. You shouldn't build a house on a railroad. It's good advice, kids. Good advice. That's life advice. From the Zone, 3 to 6, Monday through Friday. It's ESPN 680, 105.7. Is Jalen Smith really a senior? My bad. I really thought Jalen Smith was a junior. Texter, Jason, love your show. Get your facts right. Jalen Smith's a senior. You keep saying Jalen Smith's a junior. He's a senior. Yeah, I guess he would have to be a senior because, you know, you get really one chance to go pro early in football. That would be after your junior year, unless he's a redshirt sophomore, which he was not. So, yeah, that's my fault. So there we go. We're back up to 71. Either way. So, yeah, he's a senior. My bad. I apologize. Can we start the show over? We do it over Magic. Hey, Magic, by the way, aren't you the show?
You know what time it is.
You're the city surveyor, okay? All right, you should survey the infactual, the factually incorrect and infactual stuff as well, which would be, you know, factually incorrect words as well. The factually incorrect information that is being put out here.
Nah, I've already been bought off, man.
All right.
They already corrupt me.
True politician right there. Absolutely. Christian Dawkins is his...
2 days on the job, I sold out.
Very good. Christian Dawkins is his campaign manager. He's got it all figured out. All figured out. So there you go. We wanted to start off just by, pointing that out, that it isn't just one guy, and it isn't just rumors. It's not just innuendo, and it's not just, oh, somebody's trying to hurt the program, and it's unprofessional. It is as professional as it gets. It's sourced. It is, you know what's unprofessional, by the way? Getting information fed to you that's false. Others trafficking on your credibility and being perfectly okay with it. Like, that's unprofessional. Sourcing and doing things the right way as a professional reporter, as what Mark Innes is being with this, yeah, that's as professional as it gets. People at Louisville's program may not like it, but, you know. It's still the way that it is. It's the deal. So there you go. All right, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. I wanted to get into a little bit of the FBI stuff that came out last night. And with Louisville in action tonight and VJ King playing tonight, I want to talk about that. But John Calipari just talked in the previous hour. And there was an interesting part about, look, I think it's expected when he said, you know, he wanted a team that would fight. He wanted a team that wouldn't lay down. He wanted a team that would fight back. He wanted a team, and he was disappointed in that. And if you get punched, do you work or do you just cave in? And that's the question is, you know, are they going to cave in? And thank goodness it's not game 6 or 7 because, wow, you'd be at that point and it's just game 1 and all of that stuff that I expected to hear from John Calipari that, hey, there's got to be fight. You go back to the drawing board. Watching the film was not fun. They needed to see all that or whatever. We needed to pass that along. And this has to be a team that goes and fights and works and, you know, can punch back if need be. But the thing that that I think caught people's attention is the conversation and the discussion he had about his point guards. In that, essentially, he's saying, you know, he's trying to figure them out, but coming to the conclusion that they're not takeover guys. Well, if you've got 3 point guards and one of them is Quad A Green, I'll tell you one of those guys is not a takeover guy. Okay, Quad A Green isn't going to be a takeover guy. Quad A Green is a nice player that can run point if need be and can play off the ball if need be. He's a good reserve on a high level basketball team. But he's not a guy that's going to be a takeover, and he's not a guy that you want to go into battle to win a national championship as your starter at the 1 or the 2. So if you're saying those 3 guys and there's not a takeover guy, well, I can tell you one is not. I don't know enough about Emmanuel Quickley, and I don't know enough about Ashton Hagans. So I will again defer to John Calipari, who's coached plenty of point guards in his career, guys that are takeover guys. What I would disagree on, and by the way, he said maybe more facilitators than takeover guys. What I would disagree on is acting like Cal has never had facilitators, and through his career at UK, that he has only had takeover and he's never had a facilitator. Like, well, if you play point guard for John Calipari, you're going to be a takeover guy. You're going to be a guy that dominates the ball, that'll dominate the game, that can at any point in time break a guy down off the dribble, get to the bucket, either score, draw the defense,
dish it to the man on the block, kick it out for the three. Like, that's going to be that guy. You control the game. You know when to push. You know when to slow it down. You know when to fold him. You know when to hold him. You're, you know, that Kenny Rogers, a point guard. Sorry about that. Like, you know all of those things. You have that feel on the floor. Okay, he's had some of those. Obviously, John Wall was one of those. De'Aaron Fox was one of those. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, was one of those. Brandon Knight was one of those. Who else? Who else was a takeover point guard for John Calipari in his career at UK? Marcus Teague wasn't. And they won a national championship with that team. Now, I'm not seeing Anthony Davis, the number one overall pick on this team, that much we know. But Marcus Teague was not a takeover point guard. Marcus Teague was a guy that scored when need be, set guys up, could get to the bucket when it was called upon, and can throw the lob to the big guys, and would knock down a shot when it was open, and played really good defense, especially later on in the year. Marcus Teague really grew into his role as that season progressed and became a really good player from what UK needed out of him to win the whole thing. And they got that. So Teague was a facilitator, not necessarily a takeover guy that he's just going to be breaking everybody down off the dribble and do those things. Ryan Harrow clearly was not. So that's not even a discussion. Was Tyler Ulis a takeover guy? Like, Tyler Ulis was like Cal's coach on the floor. But was he a guy that was just, okay, give him the ball and get out of the way because he's going to be able to create anytime he wants? Because that's what he's talking about. Because he's saying that Higgins and Quickley and his point guards are not somebody that's just going to be able to say, okay, you need offense, go break that guy down. Brandon Knight could get offense when he wanted it. John Wall could break people down when he wanted it. De'Aaron Fox was able to break guys down when he wanted it. His first step, how quick he was ridiculous. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was long, and he was able to turn the corner as well as anybody. It may have been more methodical. It wasn't the quick burst that De'Aaron Fox had. It wasn't the overall speed of John Wall. It wasn't the niftiness of Brandon Knight and using how sort of big his body was. Gilgeous-Alexander was good that when he got a guy on his hip, he turned the corner, and there was no way you would block his shot because he was Stretch Armstrong with his arms, and he was able to finish every time he got there. Like, he was a guy that if need be, he would go get you points. Tyler Ulis was good. Maybe he was a middle part. Maybe he was kind of a takeover guy, kind of a facilitator, but not really squarely in one group. Andrew Harrison wasn't that either. Like, he wasn't he's just going to take over the game. He did at times. The Final Four game against Wisconsin, I'll continue to harp on this, for everybody that wanted Tyler Ulis to come in for Andrew Harrison in that game, and it was like, well, Cal was so, you know, he was so loyal to the Harrison twins that he cost his team the game because you should have put Devin Booker and Tyler Ulis in the game. One, let's relitigate this. Devin Booker couldn't guard me that night, and there was a reason he couldn't play, is because Bo Ryan was getting switch after switch after switch after switch until he got the matchup he wanted against Devin Booker, and then Sam Decker went to work, and it was over. And so it wasn't Aaron Harrison, you know, for Devin Booker. Yeah, that made sense. And Andrew Harrison was, I mean, as Andrew Harrison was the reason that was still a game at halftime. In the first half, Andrew Harrison was Kentucky's best player in that game against Wisconsin. He was really good. It didn't, you know, stay that way throughout the game. And at the end of the game, they took too much time trying to just simply force it into Karl Anthony Towns and pass the ball around and take the air out of the ball and all of that stuff that we've talked about and rehashed. But it was like, well, you got to put in Tyler Ulis for Andrew Harrison. So Harrison wasn't really that. Okay, you know he's a takeover guy. Texter says, you know, Tyler Ulis was a takeover point guard. Texter says Tyler Ulis, he had 30 points against Louisville. Yes, he could take over a game, but being a takeover guy, Tyler Ulis was not De'Aaron Fox or John Wall or even Brandon Knight. That if you needed to only rely on him, he would be the guy that would go and get you the points if need be. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was more of that than Tyler Ulis. Tyler Ulis was more of a really good point guard that's going to know exactly where the ball needs to go, to know exactly, like, he had the feel of when to slow it down, when to get out in transition, when to run. He was incredibly skilled. He was good. By saying he wasn't a takeover guy is not saying he wasn't any good or he was merely a facilitator, like he was Alex Smith as a quarterback. Like, no, that wasn't Tyler Ulis. He was better than that. He could do that. It's like, are you a base stealer or can you steal a base? I mean, Dave Roberts, we talk about it all the time, in 2004, is a base stealer because he got out there and everybody knew he was going to steal second. Everybody in the crowd, media, the Yankees, everybody knew he was going to steal second. You know what he did? He stole second because he's a base stealer. But, you know, David Ortiz has stolen bases. You know, he can do that. But I'm talking about if the offense breaks down and you go, Ulis, take the ball and go create and score and get a bucket, Gildas Alexander could do that. Wall could do that. Knight could do that. Fox could do that. Ulis could do that more than, say, Andrew and certainly Harrow, and I think Marcus Teague as well. So he would be in that sort of middle group. And so my point being, there's sort of this feeling of, okay, well, now he's got to go back to his UMass days to play with somebody that's not a takeover point guard. No, he doesn't. He won a national championship with somebody that wasn't a takeover point guard in Marcus Teague, with a guy who kicked it to Deron Lamb, would drive when need be in the flow of the offense, kicked it to Anthony Davis. He would kick it down to Terrence Jones. He played defense. He would knock down a three when it was there, when the ball swung around to him. He figured out his role on that team and was a factor in winning the national championship. And by the way, his defense against Kansas the first 5 minutes was sort of setting the tone of how that game physically and how in sort of evolved and completely locked in that team was. But he wasn't a takeover guy. Now, saying Harrell wasn't that 13 team, you know, probably don't want to go down that route. But that team was terrible. This team was not 2013. And Andrew Harrison was a guy who could, but wasn't a guy that just said, all right, let's just rely on Andrew Harrison. Kentucky went as Fox went in 2017. John Wall in 2010. Obviously a very big part of that 2010 team. Heck, and even throw in, you know, Eric Bledsoe at times. But it was really, you know, John Wall. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander last year. So, I mean, I think this is one of those to where, yes, it's a concern right now. I don't think there's any question. But this time last year, who was the point guard for Kentucky? This time last year, who was the main point guard for UK? Quade Green. At the end of the season, who was the point guard for UK? It was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So right now, Manuel Quigley, Ashton Hagans, not Quade, like one of those two guys. Somebody has to take the reins. Somebody has to be the leader. Somebody has to be the guy that Cal can rely on as, this is my guy to be the point guard. Who is it going to be? Which one of those guys? My guess is that it was going to be Ashton Hagans, mainly because of the defensive presence right out of the gates, and you wouldn't need somebody like that to be relied upon to go and get most of the scoring or a good chunk of the scoring. Fox needed to provide that, okay? Fox needed it. Monk was phenomenal. Bam inside went through the stretch of five games to where he was either dunking or getting fouled and going to the free throw line. And Kentucky struggled when Fox was injured. And when Fox came back, that team rolled to the Elite Eight and was a Luke May shot from going into overtime because Fox was oftentimes the best player on the floor. If it wasn't him, it was Malik Monk hitting stupid fadeaway shots with, you know, hands in his face and all of that stuff. But he was relied on to be a primary scorer, or one of the, you know, Monk, Fox, bam, that's it. Role players, there you go. Derek Willis, you know, knocked down a shot from time to time, winning. But it was Fox. Like, Hagans and Quickly are not going to be that this year. They're not going to be relied on and say, you've got to go score. Because if that's the case, then Kentucky's in more trouble than we thought from just last night. Because P.J. Washington should be a guy that's more aggressive than what we last night or Tuesday night. P.J. Washington should be more aggressive than what we saw on Tuesday night. Keldon Johnson looked the part. For a good portion of that game, he was the guy that you would say, he's my pick to lead Kentucky in scoring. Reed Travis had 22. Tyler Hero, you would hope, is more of the guy in the last 10 minutes of the game versus the guy the first 30 minutes of the game. And he also might be a streaky shooter. He might be a guy that you just watch and go, he hits his first three. All right, watch out. Tyler Hero's about to go off. Misses a couple early shots. We'll see. I don't know if that's going to be Tyler Hero's game or not. He might be a much more consistent player. and just had a bad night. First go of it, national TV against Duke, forcing some shots, trying to get his game rolling instead of in the flow of the game. Look, those things happen all the time. So I don't know what the case is going to be with that. But there are other options on Kentucky's team to score, to provide the offense that is not Emmanuel Quigley, that is not Ashton Higgins. That's, I guess, my general point about the conversation when Kyle says they might be more facilitators than takeover guys. Okay. It's not ideal. I mean, you would love to have a guy that would be a takeover guy. But Duke, everybody is glowing about winning the national championship. Is R.J. Barrett the point guard? Is Zion Williams in the point guard? Is Cam Reddish the point guard? No, Trey Jones is the point guard. Was he the takeover guy? Or was that Barrett, Williamson, and Reddish? Like, it was those guys. He had 8 or 7 assists, no turnovers. He seemed like a pretty darn good facilitator. So it's not just simply about, okay, do you have that guy? All right, 267-968. Let's take a timeout, come back. On the other side, we'll get into some of the reports last night with the FBI, with Christian Dawkins and the Ledger and what he was hoping to do and strategies and plans and all of that, and names that are brought up, one of those being Ashton Higgins, one of those being B.J. King. King in action tonight as Louisville tips off their season against Nicholls State, 19.5-point favorites. I believe that is exactly where, well, it can't be a half point, but I think 19 is the line that KenPom has, which is typically what Vegas would be around. Yeah, 19. So, I mean, I'm telling you, the KenPom line is typically where Vegas is going to be. KenPom has it as a 19-point victory 96% of the time, and then Southern, they've got it as a 25-point win for Louisville next Tuesday. Not that that really even matters. So it's not going to be a game in which you're like, oh, are they going to win? It's a game in which, what does the rotation look like? What does the sort of the pack line defense look like early on? What does, to me, Jordan Wara look like? Stephen Enoch, V.J. King, is he finishing through contact? All of that stuff. So we'll get into a little bit of that, but I certainly want to talk about the FBI stuff. We got our sound of the day. We've got Zone Blitz, Rick Bozich, Fat Jack all to come here before the show is over. And I finally went and found Mike Leach's buyout in his contract, so we can pass that along in case people are wondering who Plan B would be. And so we'll get that done before the show is over as well. All right, 437-9680, UPS Jobs text line to be a part of the show. If you want to do that, 267-9680, you can be a part of the show that way as well, actually calling in. It is very nice in here right now. It's very nice because of the DFH company. We use the heating / cooling system. It's really the cooling system that we've used. It's called the Mitsubishi Mini Split from the DFH company. It keeps our studio cool since we've got a glass front studio. The more normal air ducts is throughout the summer, they don't get enough AC in here to the studio to make sure it's a comfortable temperature, because we've already got the hot takes. We need something to cool that down so it doesn't just go off the rails. The Mitsubishi unit allows us to run a coolant line through the wall, keeps us cool. We've got a separate AC unit in here thanks to the DFH company. So if you have the sunroom, the attic, a tough room to regulate the temperature, what have you, just contact the DFH company about the mini split. Visit dfhcompany.com or call 968-6222. That is 24-hour service at dfhcompany.com or 968-6222. More Zone right after this.
You are listening to the Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
Do you know what the future you is up to right now? It could be working for UPS. UPS is now hiring part-time package handlers in Louisville for select shifts. You can now receive bonuses up to $250. They also graduate debt-free through the Metro College program. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com. Get there.
You're locked in the Zone with Jason Anderson, presented by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Thursday night football coming up tonight. Panthers at the Steelers, 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 680 105.7. Pregame for Louisville, I should point out, it's going to be on both stations tonight. Louisville basketball pregame. That'll be Marcus Maben and Steve Rummage. That'll be on tonight. That's live from the Gold House beginning at 6 o'clock on both stations, and certainly directly following that game. It's the Coors Light postgame show. First place to take calls here live from Chris Mack. Sound from the locker room. All that is coming up tonight. Carolina and Pittsburgh, big NFL tilt, 8 o'clock tonight. NFL on ESPN Louisville presented by the Huffman Auto Group, UPSJobs.com, and delivered by Papa John's. All right, Zone Blitz coming up at 4 o'clock. We will certainly talk about some of the issues that we've discussed in the first part of the show here with those involved in the Zone Blitz. Jeff Greer, John Hale, Zach Osterman will join us to break down Louisville, Kentucky, and Indiana, respectively. Although, one time we should switch that up. Have, like, Hale break down Indiana, Osterman break down Louisville, and then have Greer talk about UK. Like, just to see, like, you're around these coaches. What do you think Chris Mack is thinking there, John Hale? Hey, Greer. What do you make of Mingione's baseball team? You think this is another chance to go to the maybe a college World Series or something like that? Maybe a regional host? Maybe a super regional? Something like that? What do you think? FBI stuff still continuing to come out a little pieces at a time. Mark Schlabaugh from ESPN had his report, and essentially this was presented in the trials in New York with the evidence and testimony along with what was going on. The evidence turned over to the NCAA, the documents obtained by Outside the Lines, a business plan that aspiring agent Christian Dawkins emailed to his business partners on September 5th, 2017. Roughly, what, 3 weeks? Was it the 24th or the 26th that that whole thing broke? So almost 3 weeks to the day that he sent this email outlining a business plan of money that they were going to give players as part of him starting his Lloyd company, which is... I can't even remember what it... Living Out Your Dreams. That's the acronym for that. Lloyd Incorporated. He was detailing the blueprint for a fledgling sports management agency. This according to Mark Schlabaugh. That is his subjective view of Lloyd Incorporated, Living Out Your Dreams. I wish it was more Kids Incorporated. It's KIDS. So the number of players that he has on here, there's a decent amount, and really we only kind of care about the local ones. Jared Vanderbilt talked about, Ashton Higgins talked about, Ray Spalding talked about, VJ King talked about in this plan to funnel money to some of these players so that they would then sign on with these in the end, with the Lloyd Incorporated in the end, this money was going to eventually pay off, because if you get like a $50 million guy, well, they're going to make $2 million off that guy, right? I mean, if in year five, this guy's making $15 million on the court, $1 million off the court, and has $5 million saved, Lloyd Incorporated is going to gross $750,000. Right, but who are you recruiting here? You're looking at Jaron Blossom game, and you're looking at Lamar Peters and Troy Brown. You're looking at DeJuan Huell, Brandon Sampson, Anthony Melton, Trevon Blewett, even Jared Vanderbilt. But again, second-round pick Ray Spalding, second-round pick VJ King. I don't know that there's much of the NBA aspirations from those around saying, God, I got to get our hands on VJ King so we can get a little bit of change on the back end for VJ. Colin Sexton's the one that's probably the sexiest name here out of anybody. Raleigh Hawkins is a name you know. But like, it's a lot of guys that are like, oh, Justin Patton at Creighton, okay. Edmund Sumner at Xavier, okay, yeah. I mean, but there's a number of guys that it's like, all right, let's get these guys in, and then we're going to make a lot of money. Like, no, not really, unless these were the guys that were available, because all of the other sports agencies and managements and all of that were looking at other players, and he was just simply following that playbook.
hey, we've got your playbook there, Adidas. Okay, but do you have ASMs? And, of course, they rated ASM, so you would think that they would have their playbook and Lloyd Incorporated's playbook. But essentially, this is one. It's Christian Dawkins. We know
did
that.
The Gay Wake Forest playbook?
No, Lonnie Galloway is not a runner for them. If Lonnie Galloway worked for Christian Dawkins, Adidas, college basketball, Wake Forest, we have your playbook. Wake Forest is like, what the hell, man? We fired that guy. How the hell? And now the FBI has the playbook? Like, I mean, who can you trust? If you can't trust Christian Dawkins, who's there left to trust in this world? I mean, come on, right? So first of all, you've got Christian Dawkins, who isn't a trustworthy guy. We talked about that. He, you know, got fired because he charged $40,000 in Uber rides to Alfred Payton as his manager. $40,000 in Uber. It's like me turning an expense report in to the bosses for $7,800 in McDonald's. Hold on, you spent $7,800? Yes. Jason, look, we don't look too kindly on fraud. Are you sure you spent $7,800 on McDonald's?
You don't understand. The McRib was back. I had to take time of that. Yeah. Take advantage of the limited time offer.
Yes. So, do you understand how much $7,800 in McDonald's is, Jason? Yes. You really wanting to turn this expense report in? Yes. Okay. And you're fired. How do you know I didn't eat $7,800 worth of McDonald's? How do you know I didn't take $40,000 worth of Uber rides? I needed a ride from San Francisco to Bristol to be on ESPN. How was I supposed to get there? A plane ride? No.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
I like the Uber. That's what I like. And the guy was willing to do it. Very nice guy. Very nice fellow. Although he talked a lot, which isn't fun. Put that up on the Fan Outfitters Twitter poll. If you get an Uber ride, do you want your driver to talk or leave you alone? Christian Dawkins wanted him to talk. I want you to. Actually, he didn't want him to talk. He doesn't like people that are talking. No, don't talk. So he's got these names here. Jared Vanderbilt, the piece there is, according to the email, Dawkins planned to give Vanderbilt's family $30,000 in travel expenses to watch him play for the Wildcats last season. Plus, his father was going to get a $25,000 signing bonus when his son turned pro. That's a nice signing bonus for his son to turn pro that the dad gets. Brother Jamal and dad will also be a part of the deal, receive 25% of our income on all sides, Dawkins wrote. Dawkins proposed giving Vanderbilt a $100,000 line of credit and $25,000 advance on his marketing revenue if he was projected as a lottery pick at the end of the 2017-18 season. It goes on, and this is Mark Schlabaugh. Vanderbilt played in only 14 games for the Wildcats because of a foot injury and was a second-round pick of the Magic. A couple of things here. This is for the 2017-2018 season, which was last year. Christian Dawkins writes, the plan is to give Vanderbilt's family $30,000 in travel expenses. When he signs with us and turning pro, his dad will get $25,000 in a signing bonus. By the way, that wouldn't be an issue for UK or for Jared Vanderbilt. Dawkins was going to give Vanderbilt a $100,000 line of credit and advance on his marketing revenue if he was projected as a lottery pick at the end of the 2017-18 season. Again, that would not impact Jared Vanderbilt's eligibility. The only thing of these that would impact Vanderbilt's eligibility was the $30,000 in family travel expenses to Jared Vanderbilt from Christian or to Jared Vanderbilt's family from Christian Dawkins. By the way, that wasn't happening because the FBI raided him and arrested him and indicted him in September of 2017 before Jared Vanderbilt ever played a game. And so it's pretty easy to see that they didn't receive a dollar because these were plans to pay them in the future. As it relates to Louisville, he writes with the Louisville situation, says Dawkins proposed paying Louisville forward Ray Spalding $2,000 per month from October 2017 to December 2017, then $3,000 per month until April 2018. He also planned to pay VJ King $2,000 per month from October 2017 until April 2018, although he noted it, quote, will be a messy situation, in my opinion, end quote. Don't know what that would be in relation to. Mark Schlabel goes and writes here, Spalding left for the NBA draft following the 17-18 season and was a second-round pick of the 76ers. And then as you heard with Magic Mike in the SportsCenter update there, Louisville releasing a statement at least to ESPN, our university continually reviews the eligibility of all of its student-athletes. We have reviewed information recently presented at the trial in New York and do not believe it affects any of our current student-athletes. We will continue to monitor any new information that becomes available. And again, these are plans to pay the player in the future. The plans never came into existence because he was arrested in September. They were going to start the payments for Ray Spalding and VJ King in October. He was arrested in September. Now, it does not mean these players were in the dark of these payment plans. It doesn't mean that these players were caught off guard with the payment plans. It doesn't mean that Christian Dawkins is making all of this up in the payment plans. I don't know how much of this is true. I don't know how much of this is inflated or exaggerated. I know there was a lot of Christian Dawkins and his ledger book that was exaggerated and inflated, just as there was a lot of things exaggerated by Katina Powell. There was also a lot of things that were proven to be true. Truth, while also some exaggerations for effect. This may be the case with Christian Dawkins. But I think it is interesting to note that these were things that were supposed to happen in the future. So I wouldn't expect there to be an issue with VJ King. My only question is when I hear VJ King answer the question, and it is understandable that we're talking about somebody who is, what, 20, 21 years old in VJ King, probably not as experienced in dealing with the media as somebody who would be, you know, in their 30s or in the NBA or whatever. And maybe not, you know, specifically like I know exactly the way I'm going to handle this or answer this if I'm asked this question. But his answer didn't exactly sound like the, I don't know what the heck that is that's going on. Mark Blankenbaker was there after the Bellarmine game when VJ King's name first came into the discussion about being involved with Christian Dawkins in some way, shape, or form. There's more information and evidence now, or at least evidence that was presented in an email of what his business plan was to pay Ray Spalding, to pay VJ King. Here's the question from Mark Blankenbaker. I don't know if the question's in there or not, but it was, I think it was just your reaction to hearing your name involved with Christian Dawkins.
Nah, I mean, it's bound to happen, but, you know, wasn't a big deal. That's all I got to say about that one.
What was your reaction to it?
I mean, it was kind of, to me, off guard, but, you know, talked to my coach and try to get it cleared out.
Again, I preface the whole thing by saying, you know, we're mincing or trying to mince words or Zapruder filming and on the radio, you know, audio side of, you know, a 21-year-old, but I don't really understand the answer of it's bound to happen. That was a little odd from the, if you could go and find the full audio of VJ King post-Bellarmine, because in there's the actual question from Mark Blankenbaker, because I do want for context. I thought the lead-up was, you know, what was your reaction, but that was the follow-up. So I would like the context of what the question was to VJ King in which he started with, it's bound to happen. You know, wasn't really, you know, too, you know, was taken off, taken aback or off guard, caught off guard or whatever with that kind of thing. Was caught off guard is what he said with that kind of thing. But it's that first answer that was like, well, it's bound to happen. Like, if you're in shock or, you know, you had nothing to do with Christian Dawkins, like, I think the reaction might be different. I don't know for a fact if it would be different, but I would venture a guess. The answer from VJ King, if it was like, hey, Christian Dawkins' name, like if they asked Ryan McMahon, Christian Dawkins said he was going to pay you $3,000 a month, Ryan. What do you think of that? I'm just going on a limb here that Christian Dawkins or other people, you know, NBA, you know, these agents were not looking to pay Ryan McMahon. You know, I probably should not assume that, but I'm going to go ahead and assume that. Like, I don't know what his reaction would be.
But so this is the question with Blankenbaker as well. All right, here's the question to VJ King and then the answer. Here's the full thing just for context.
Were you surprised at all to have your name brought up in those federal wiretap transcripts at all?
Nah. I mean, it's bound to happen, but, you know, wasn't a big deal. That's all I got to say about that one.
What was your reaction to it, though?
I mean, it was kind of to me off guard, but, you know, talk to my coach and try to get it cleared out.
Were you surprised? No, it was bound to happen. Like, that doesn't sound like somebody who had no dealings with that or had any relationship or was completely in the dark of some sort of a plan that may have been going on with Ray Spalding or VJ King. Now, at least talking about it or saying, hey, I'd like to get paid $3,000 per month. You know, soliciting might be an issue. But can you ultimately prove that in the NCAA? But he clearly never received anything because the plan was to start in October. It's just that answer leaves more questions for me than it does. Okay, that sounds like somebody that didn't have anything to do with that. Were you surprised your name came up? Nah, it was bound to happen. It kind of caught me off guard. Like, that doesn't sound like, hey, your name was mentioned. Yeah, I know, that was crazy. Like, I have no idea where that came from. And we're talking about a 21-year-old. I continue to preface it. I'll point that out, that it was bound to happen. Kind of sounds like, yeah, I knew that there was some relationship or there was a connection there, kind of just waiting until my name popped up somewhere. So just kind of waiting around is like, well, when's my name going to be a part of this? I'm not really sure. Oh, there it is. Well, it was bound to happen. It was bound to happen, and that's all I'm gonna say about that. So I just went. That's all I'm gonna say. So, okay, that's all. It was bound to happen, and you know, kind of caught off guard. But that's all I'm gonna say about it. I don't know. I don't want to make too much of it. And the last part on here too is, it says Dawkins planned to recruit 2019 point guard prospect Ashton Hagans, who reclassified the 2018 class of freshman at Kentucky, according to the email. Dawkins wanted to pay Hagans $2,000 per month from October 2017 to October 2018, then $3,000 monthly through April of 2020. That would have been when he was in high school. That would have made him ineligible even to play college basketball. Again, that wouldn't have impacted Kentucky unless, of course, this thing never surfaced until, like, I don't know, 3 years later. And then it was like, well, Hagans was getting this money, and Ray Spalding and VJ King and, you know, Jared Vanderbilt and all these guys were getting paid all this money while they were in college from this Christian Dawkins feller. And, you know, he ends up, you know, all these guys and vacating wins. Like, this was the plan to do that. It never happened. I also don't know how he was going to build the business on this group of players. Like, you're paying a lot of money. I don't know where the ROI is from that. We'll do a zone blitz next. Jeff Greer on the other side of the break. Zach Osterman and John Hale.
Are you ready to get behind the wheel of a UPS tractor trailer? Seasonal tractor trailer drivers earn $32 an hour. Drivers must be at least 21 years of age, have a Class A CDL with T endorsement, 2 years of tractor trailer experience, and be able to drive a standard transmission. As a driver, you could participate in team driving, in-town runs, or help at a local UPS facility. Are you ready to get on the road? Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.